Wonderful. All right, we're going to start off with a word of scripture. If I can find it, where'd it go? All right. It says in Revelation 5, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." Father, we thank you for the worthy Lamb, your only begotten Son that you gave as the most treasured sacrifice and propitiation for our sins. You, Father, gave it all for us, and we are here this morning to bow down like the elders and the four living creatures. We're here to bow down and worship you for your highly exalted. So let's be on our feet this morning as we worship the Ancient of Days.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Blessing and honor.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth, matchless worth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. Again, your kingdom shall reign over all the earth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth, matchless worth, sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days. O Ancient of Days.
Isn't it just so amazing If you're feeling sleepy this morning, I just encourage you to shake it off, because we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's highly worthy. He's highly worthy of our praise, and it's a privilege and an honor to be in the presence of the Ancient of Days, to be in the presence of the Most High God.
Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
Let's sing that again.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
So here I am
to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Sing that again.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
King of all days,
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, you created, all for love's sake became poor.
So here I am
to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let's sing King of All Days again.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth, you created, all for love's sake became poor.
Thank you, Jesus.
So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
I'll never know
how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never
one more time.
I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're wonderful.
Let's just sing out to the Lord for a moment.
Glory to your name. You're so wonderful. Glory to your name. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so
of who you are, your glory. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. You're so the Lord. always been in me. Let's sing that again. Gathered at the highest throne, welcomed by a melody, an anthem I have always known, a song that's always been in me. All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. A million angels fall, face down on the floor, all to echo, holy is the Lord. My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Oh, oh, forever echo, holy is the Lord. Memorized by every heart, written in eternity, every lifted voice apart, joining in the symphony.
There before the throne.
all glory.
All glory and honor, dominion and power to you.
All wisdom.
Whoa. All wisdom and wonder belong to no other but you.
Let's sing that again. All glory and honor.
All glory and honor, dominion and power to you. All wisdom and wonder belong to no other but you.
A million angels.
A million angels fall face down on the floor, all to echo hold with "Are you Lord?" My heart cannot but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo holy, "Are you Lord?" My million angels fall face down on the floor, all to echo holy, "Are you Lord?" My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo holy, "Are you Lord?" A million angels fall face down on the floor, all to echo holy, "Are you Lord?" My heart can't help but sing with all of heaven roar, forever echo holy, "Are you Lord?" Oh, oh, forever echo holy, "Are you Lord?" Oh, oh, forever echo holy, "Are you Lord?"
See the Lord. Oh, 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 the train of your robe is filling the temple. Show us your glory.
Beautiful, you're beautiful, there's no exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Let's sing, "We Exalt Thee."
We exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, O Lord, mighty God, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, we exalt Thee, O Lord.
We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the dominion and all the power. This morning, we bow our knee, we surrender our hearts afresh and anew. You're high and lifted up, and the train of your robe fills the temple. Draw me close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my nothing else could take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're help me know you are near. close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Sing out in the spirit. Oh, you know, no, 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 this morning to minister to us. Oh, yo, no, 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 yeah. Oh, draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. I lay it all down.
the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want, you're all I've ever needed, you're all.
Covers us, God, and it prevails over anything that we're facing. Your blood speaks a better word. So we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood on the cross for us, for our sins, God, for each and every one of us, Lord, for those who are near and for those who are far off, God. As I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to share for communion this morning, that was just what I heard, for those who are near and for those who are far off. And yesterday I had the opportunity to go to a neighborhood that we minister to in on Saturdays, and Justin and I just started going around door to door to talk to people, and had a conversation with a young woman, a young mom, who said, oh, yeah, I grew up going to church, but it's not really anything I do anymore. And my heart just went out to her. Just, we got to encourage her that God was for her, that he's pursuing her, that he's after her, that it wasn't a coincidence that she was there and opened her door, you know, just to complete strangers. And as I've just been thinking about that, I think about how God pursued me when I was far off from him, and when I was questioning if he was even there, if he was even real. And he just is so faithful to reveal himself to us. And his heart is for each and every person. For those who are here right now, drawing close to God, and for those who are far off. And we all have people in our lives, family members and friends who are far off. And Lord, we're just asking, draw them near, Lord. Draw them near, God. And even those that we don't know, the ones that we just come across throughout the week, Lord, draw them near and use us, use our words to draw them near, that we would be able to demonstrate your heart to them, God. Because Jesus, you shed your blood for each and every person on this earth. You gave up your body on the cross for each of us, those who are near and those who are far off. And I knew those words were in the Bible as I looked to see where they were. They're actually in three different places. So starting in Isaiah 57, verses 18 and 19, it says, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. His heart for us is peace. And as we walked around that neighborhood, we definitely heard some things that were not peace. You know, God's peace wasn't there. And it was definitely, navigating with the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, what do we do? What do we do in this situation? Is this a door we knock on? Is this a door we don't knock on? And his desire is to bring peace to every situation. And the people that are far off from him don't have his peace. And we're the ones that are carrying it. So we have the beautiful opportunity to impart his peace to those around us. Then in Ephesians 2, this one's a long one, kind of, a little bit long, so get ready for it. It's really good. Ephesians 2, 13 through 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and to those, peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Through Jesus, those who are far off, his promise for them is the same as for those of us who are near. And Jesus is the one, Jesus is the only one that they need, the only difference in our lives and the lives of those around us who we see that don't have peace, that don't have joy, that don't have love. He is the one. In verse 20, it goes on to say, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. That's us today, church. We are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And I have just two more verses to share here. Then we're going to take communion. And as you do that, I just encourage you to draw close to the Lord. Ask him to come. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and to dwell in you afresh and anew today. the last verses that I want to share where I found those words, to those who are near and to those who are far off, were Acts 2, verses 37 through 39. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself." The Lord our God will call to himself. So God, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that your promise is for us right now, here today, and your promise is for those who are far off, the ones that you want to draw in. So as we take the elements, we remember that you gave your body and you shed your blood on the cross for us, to draw us in, to make a way for us to come close to you, Lord. We remember that and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I ask that as we take the body and the blood today, as we remember what you did, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. God, wash away the cares of the week, the missteps and the mistakes. If there's been any sin that you've stepped into this week, just offer that up in repentance to the Lord before you take communion. He's so faithful to wash us clean. His mercies are new every morning. So we thank you for that, Lord. Come and fill us up, Holy Spirit. Make us into that dwelling place for your Spirit. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Is this on? Thank you, Carling. Thank you, worship team, for this morning. I just want to share with you a few highlights of things that are coming. You should be getting a handout. Hilarious giving opportunities for August, and you can read all the fine details, but essentially just highlighting the mission trip to Poland. There's more happenings in Ghana, Rajamundry, and then the Frontline Global Partner. So hopefully you're able to receive one of those this morning for you to consider, read through, pray through, and put that before the Lord for the month of August. And then also wanted to share with you that we are going to be having Glory School, and that's going to be starting in September. And we're actually going to watch a video here that's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Welcome to Glory School, where you will embark on a glorious adventure with Holy Spirit that will take you to the depths and heights of God's kingdom. Here we will dive into the heart of what glory truly means, the Word and the Spirit coming together in profound revelation. It's about the ultimate experience, seeing Him face to face. Just as experiencing love is absolutely essential for a bride and groom. At Glory School, you're not just learning, you're encountering Jesus and deepening your relationship with the King of Kings. Embrace the journey, encounter the glory. Join us at Glory School by Patricia King on Thursdays starting September 12th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Experience the transformative power of His glory. Sign up today.
So Ashley Z is actually going to be heading that class. And as mentioned, it'll be starting September 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. And there is a sign up in the foyer if you're interested in that today. There's also a flyer, there's a QR code and some more information on the back. And then we'll be sending out a link if you like to sign up, you know, online on the Google thing. So it's for everyone. If you've taken it before, like 10, 20, 15 years ago, it's for you. If you've never have taken it before, it's for you. It's for anyone who just wants to dive deeper into the glory of God. And it's by Patricia King. We've done it here. We've done a few rounds here, but it's been a while. So just encourage you to consider that and look at that and get signed up if you're interested. Again, that starts off September 12th. And then finally, just wanted to highlight, we have Relentless Pursuit again coming this year. It will be in October. However, the dates are different than before. So just wanted you guys to note that so you have it highlighted in your mind, phone, calendar, agenda, notepad, wherever you keep important things. The dates this year for Relentless Pursuit are October 17th through the 20th. So it's a bit earlier than before. Typically, it's the last weekend of October. This year, it is mid-October. So please, again, save the date for that, and there'll be more information coming as to who will be here and schedules and all of that good stuff. Amen? All right, well, are we ready for a wonderful rest of our Sunday? Are we awake? Are you ready to dive in with Jesus? Kingdom Kids, you are released, and this morning we have the blessed opportunity to hear from my wonderful husband, Lawrence Michael Liptak.
Amen. Oh, I'm glad somebody's excited. All right. Well, the pastors, I believe, are wrapping up a family vacation. And unless I'm mistaken, heading home today. So we want to pray for all of their safety, their return. And so family vacation, I mean, they're all gone. Wheelers, Jacques, Gokies, it's a whole thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the abundant grace that you've lavished upon our lives. And Father, I just ask that you would pour out your spirit in a fresh and new way. Lord, that you would anoint this time, that we would be drawn close to you, that we would encounter you in a fresh and new way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have a little bit of a confession, and you guys may have heard me say this before. I don't typically love preaching. I always feel like any time that I'm having with the Lord when I'm preparing for a message is based solely on figuring out what to say, and it always feels a little disingenuous. So I'm not typically a huge fan of knowing when I'm going to be preaching. Fortunately, I didn't get much notice this week, so it wasn't weighing on me all week. this week has actually been a lot of fun for me. I had an encounter Saturday morning with the Lord, just preparing for today, and he gave me something that has been really fun to kind of navigate and figure out with them. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a good week. Anybody else having a good week? Anybody else having a week that they need to press through? All right, don't shy away from that. That's all right. I got to watch some of the Olympics. I don't know if you guys are a fan. A few. You know, there's this weird process for me. I seem to really enjoy some, like, there's the stuff that I always like, the swimming and the track and a handful of other things, but there's always seems to be one sport that I don't typically watch that catches my attention. This year it's been the women's sports climbing, which has been, the boulder climbing is just absolutely fascinating, watching what they do and how they do it. It's, I don't know why it's captured my attention so much. But then late one night, the other night, Cynthia and I put on rhythmic gymnastics. Have you guys ever watched that? It's crazy. Like, they throw those things. It looks like they're throwing those things as far away as they possibly can, like hula hoops, balls, and ribbons and everything, and then they catch it with their feet and do all kinds of flips and crazy things. And when you're watching it, when you're really tired, it's even more riveting. So it's been fun to watch some of those things this week. I've been enjoying it. Yes. So currently, last I check, we are in second place on the gold medal count. Maybe by the end of this message, we'll be in first, because I know the U.S. basketball team's playing. We're tied. All right. All right. So we tied for gold. That's apparently a big deal. And then Sydney, what's her name? McLaughlin? That girl, she dominated, and then she ran in the 4x400. You guys ever see the movie Secretariat? The last leg of that race, like, the cameraman could not zoom out far enough to get the whole crowd. It was impressive to watch. It was very impressive to watch. I love that. I love watching huge victory. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Victory. Kind of, not really. We'll get there. So I woke up Saturday morning, to my delight. I heard something in the spirit, and typically when I hear something in the spirit, it's usually kind of like this thought, this passing, like, I think that's the Holy Spirit, let me dig into that. Saturday morning, I heard something that I just knew was the Lord, and so I was pretty excited about that. And so it was probably about 6 a.m. I woke up, and I heard, let freedom reign, let freedom reign, let freedom reign. I heard it three times. And so I laid in bed, and I kept meditating, and I just spent some time just meditating on that phrase, and I just kept hearing it, let freedom reign, let freedom reign, let freedom reign. And as I spent some time meditating on it, the Lord actually began to expand it a little bit and show me a couple of different things. So I want to talk a little bit about what it means to have freedom in Christ. And so if you can pull up the first, there you go. So here's what I want to say. As I was laying there, I heard, let freedom reign. I heard it three times. But then as I was laying there and praying about it, I actually saw the writing come out. And it ended up being spelled three different ways. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit more in a minute. But the first one I saw was freedom reign, like this, R-A-I-N. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I am not a huge writer / grammar person. I think I may have stretched Troy quite a bit with the written devotionals that we had on the Ghana team. Even my own child was pointing out some of the grammatical errors. So it was a very vulnerable time for me where children were coming and telling me of my errors. So thank God for them. But if you don't like this, the Lord gave this to me. You can take it up with him. So the first way I saw it was Let freedom reign. And so this rain, R-A-I-N, is symbolizing like the rain that falls from heaven. And so I want to actually go back. If you didn't hear it, and I want to expand a little bit on it real quick. So when we were in Ghana, one of the testimonies that was shared was about the Sunday morning that we were planting a church. And what happened was, if you don't remember the testimony, I'll give you a brief summary. So we were driving to the site, and there was pretty cloudy, and it was calling for rain, but we were asking for the Lord just to hold off the rain long enough for us to have service, only because a lot of times when it begins to rain, Ghanaians tend to scatter. They don't like being in the rain. And so we were just praying that the Lord would hold that off. And so if you remember the testimony when the team was sharing, what happened was we had the full service. We had worship, which was awesome, and in Ghana is pretty extended. We had a time of sharing. We had a message that was shared. And then a couple of team members started sharing about the power of the Holy Spirit. And just as they began praying for the power of the Holy Spirit, it began to pour rain. And it wasn't like a sprinkling, it wasn't a little bit of rain. But the interesting thing about this was it poured down rain for almost the entire time that we were sharing about the Holy Spirit and praying for his presence. And then it stopped. Now, what wasn't really highlighted, I don't think, a lot about that moment was that throughout that entire trip, one, it was very overcast. Thank you, Jesus. Cool. Ghana and cool. It was a new thing. The kids were actually kind of disappointed because I think we'd prepared them for way worse. But throughout that entire trip, we had a couple of like sprinklings of like a mist, like a rain. But that was the only time in the entire trip that we were there where it actually like poured down rain. And so it was really interesting to look back and reflect on the fact that as we were praying about the Holy Spirit pouring, and then all of a sudden in that moment, it began pouring down rain. And so we were just talking a little bit about the rain of his presence and what that means. And so I want to start with reading Hosea 6:3. This is the Amplified Version. It says, "So let us know and become personally acquainted with him. Let us press on to know and understand fully the greatness of the Lord, to honor, heed, and deeply cherish him. His appearing is prepared and is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us in salvation like the heavy rain, like the spring rain watering the earth." Have you guys ever been stuck in the rain? Like, where you had to get out of your car, or you had to go somewhere, and you were just stuck in it? Typically, what do? You run from wherever you started to wherever you need to be, correct? Typically. Now, how many of you guys know it's kind of pointless to just stand in one place and try to avoid the rain? I mean, think about that. Think about standing in one place and just looking up and then trying to catch every raindrop and avoid it and dodge it. That's not going to work out very well for you, right? So in the rain of his presence, as I was reflecting on this rain, let freedom reign, like one of the things that the Lord is drawing us into is just this understanding of what he accomplished at the cross. And so in salvation, as Jesus died on the cross, as we take that in and receive everything that he's given us, we have been set free. So that's what we're talking about here in Hosea, is that allowing the reign of his presence to touch our lives so that we can actually walk in the freedom that he paid for at the cross. So there's a couple of other scriptures. I have a lot of scriptures here. I'm going to just kind of refer to a few of them, but then we'll read a couple others. Galatians 5:1, it says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." I want to highlight the end of this. It says, do not again be yoked to slavery. So the idea is that when Christ died on the cross and he paid for our sins, before we receive Jesus, we are actually yoked to slavery. do you guys understand what it means to be yoked? It's an old farming term. It means you're actually connected to it. A yoke is typically like a wooden an old farming tool that's used to connect two animals so that they stay together. So when you're yoked to slavery before Christ, that is a part of who you are. But then when Jesus came and paid that price, so it says here, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So it's talking about going back. We don't want to go back to the yoke of slavery. And a couple other scriptures here. Jeremiah 1:5 says, it talks about, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. A couple of familiar verses here. Psalm 139:13 says that you knit me together in my mother's womb. Luke 12:7 says, every hair on your head is counted, one of Pastor Bill's favorites. Jeremiah 29:11 talks about how God knows the plans that he has for you. So all of these things are all about how God knows us, how he has a plan for us, and what his intentions are for us. And so as I was laying in my bed and I was meditating on what this looks like, let freedom reign, it's just allowing the reign of his presence, understanding and actually grabbing onto the idea that we are free in Christ, and that in that process, he knows everything about us. So many times we get stuck into this mentality that and I'll speak for myself. We get caught in this idea of how do I refer to it? That rabbit trail of everything that I've done wrong, of where I've fallen short, or where I'm not maybe not hearing right, or where I'm doing something wrong, I'm not dead enough to myself, and all of those things. And we can go down that spiral sometimes. But here in this, as I was thinking about this, that reign, that we cannot avoid the freedom of what Christ did. When we accept the cross, we cannot avoid the fact that we have been set free. So no matter what type of shame spiral it is that we're dealing with, it's just like trying to avoid the reign. When you're standing out there, you have been set free. That doesn't change. That doesn't matter how you feel. That doesn't matter what thoughts you have in the moment. Just like the rain, it is unavoidable. If you have accepted Jesus into your heart, you are now free. So we want to let the rain of his presence fall on us. Romans 8:28. Says, and we know that God, because all thing causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's something that is so powerful about recognizing the intentionality of God. And so when we are going through all of these struggles and we are understanding whatever it is that life circumstances bring, whether it was our own issues, our own things that the Lord is inviting us to repent of, which we'll talk about a little bit later, or it's something that the enemy is bringing to your camp to try to steal, kill, and destroy, that in all of those things, God is so significantly, infinitely more powerful and greater than all of those things, that he still causes all things to work together for good. And so if we understand that this freedom that comes in salvation, I don't want to say it doesn't matter what we do, because how we choose to steward it actually matters. But it doesn't change the fact that Christ paid a price that gives us a freedom that cannot be stolen. It can be given away, right? When we allow sin to come back in, when we live lives of unrepentant choices, we can forfeit it, but it can't be stolen. Right? That's the freedom of what Christ paid for at the cross. (Clears throat) And then Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves with a view of righteousness. Harvest in accordance with kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you." So again, allowing freedom to rain down on us, to touch our lives as believers. And this is what I think there's a continuous theme in all three of the rains that the Lord showed me. In every single one of them, we as believers have an opportunity to reflect to the rest of the world what it looks like to have true freedom. And so we have to be open to allowing God's presence to touch our lives, to break off the shame, to break off the condemnation, and actually walk out all of the things that he's calling us to, right? And so in those times when we're in difficult circumstances and we're battling through something, we can go back into the word and recognize that he does cause all things to work together for good, that he does have a plan for me. And so what does that look like? I'm going to walk out all of my circumstances, good, bad, ugly, in freedom. It doesn't have to be in any other circumstances beyond walking out in freedom. So this one actually I labeled "Let Freedom Reign" R-A-I-N as past. So not going back to a yoke of slavery, but actually embracing and walking out the freedom. The second one, this is a fun one. It said, "Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign. Let freedom reign," R-E-I-G-N. So this is the kind of reign that you see as a king has. You know, it's like the dominion and the power, right? And so there's a movie. I'm realizing I might be dating myself with some of this stuff. So there's an old movie called Braveheart, if you've ever seen it. I'm not going to show it. But at the end of the movie Braveheart, William Wallace has been captured, and just at the very tail end, they start torturing him to give up everything that he'd been battling for, and so there's this at the very end, the guy who's torturing him leans in and just says, "All you have to do is basically release what you've been fighting for." And there's this moment of silence where you don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, he just screams out, "Freedom." And in that moment, the king, who was on his deathbed, it shows him waking up and he hears it. And so I for this one, "Let Freedom Reign," this is what I picture. I picture it's a clarion call. It's a declaration of victory. And so the Lord is saying, there's this thunderous declaration from heaven that says, "Let freedom reign," in the sense of it's taking authority over everything that has taken us captive. It now has dominion. If you are a believer in Christ, not only are you set free from that yoke of slavery from your past, you are now given dominion and authority and power to carry and release freedom into everything that you do. So now we've gone from being released from a yoke of slavery, the past, to what I'm referring to as the present. You have the authority to walk out everything that you've been called into. And so this is that declaration. So if we read, even at the very beginning of creation in Genesis 1, we're familiar with this. At creation in Genesis 1, 27 through 28, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female." Let me read that again. "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Even from the moment that we were created on the earth, we were given dominion. We were given authority. You know, it's interesting if you read that account, and I can't remember where this was highlighted, and I don't know why I missed it all the time, but the process of God creating all of creation, and he brings everything to Adam to name it. Like the authority that comes with that partnership. It wasn't like God created everything and walked Adam through the garden and said, this is what this is, this is what this is. He brought it to Adam, and then Adam was given the authority to name it. That there's incredible authority that we have as believers. We have the freedom to walk in full authority. A couple other verses just talking about what it looks like to reign and have dominion. Psalm 97, 1 through 6, it says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. You want to talk about authority. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. All of creation, everything that we see in this earth, in this universe, and you know, we've had some videos and we've looked at some things. I think we showed it at Greenlight Missions, just showing how big the universe can be compared to other things, and it just kind of kept zooming out and expanding, and things are 10,000 light years wide, whatever that means. I don't even know how we figure that out. But all of creation still is submitted to the authority of God. Here's one that actually, it's not even in my notes, but Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It talks about how God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we can think or imagine. According to the power of what? That lives inside of you. Like, I've been spending more time actually meditating on that part. I always love the exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we can think or imagine. But I've started meditating a little bit more on according to the power that lives inside of you. And so there's this process in partnership with the Lord where he gives us all of this authority to walk out. And so what does it mean to let freedom reign? That means that we're carrying it into, just like what Carly was sharing earlier that her and Justin were doing yesterday. They were carrying freedom. We are bearers, we are carriers of freedom, and we have the authority to actually release it everywhere that we go. A couple other verses real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I want to highlight something on this one. I think it was a John Bevere book that pointed it out. You know, we're pretty familiar with that verse, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But one of the things that he points out is if the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, the Spirit of God is omnipresent, right? It's everywhere. But do we see freedom in every circumstance? No. But what he highlights here, he says a better way of translating that is, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And so where we choose to make Jesus Lord, and where he's given dominion over our lives, that's where freedom is. That's where that reigning power is, where we choose to give God authority. That's where he reigns. That's where freedom is released. A couple other familiar ones. Joshua 1:3, everywhere the soles of your feet tread, you're given that land. And I won't expand too much on some of these other ones. Luke 4:18 and 19. Are we all familiar with that one? I'm going to read it in the NASB, because every time we're asked to just say it out loud, everybody has a different version. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So when we pick up that call, that let freedom reign, we are taking it as something that we carry in authority, and not only for our own lives, but we release it to the people around us. So let freedom reign. And then the third one, let freedom reign. There you go. Let freedom reign. So this one was kind of interesting. I didn't know exactly what to do with this one right away. But then the Lord highlighted a few things. So this rein, R-E-I-N, is actually referring to like the reins that you use on a horse. And so I'm going to show, did the video come through? We'll show this video. So this is Joseph with a friend of ours, and this is Snow. And so we're going to show this process here real quick. So Snow typically, you don't have to have the volume on. I wouldn't worry about it. It's not going to be that good anyway. Snow up to this point has not really been much for taking the bit. And so Joseph's starting this process here. Those are the reins put over him. So he's getting a little distracted. And then there's just this beautiful process where she just kind of slowly, carefully brings him back in. And then if you know anything about horses, if you watch his ears, so when horses are agitated or they're not very happy, their ears get pinned back behind their head. There's no point in this video where his ears are pinned back behind him. And there they go. They go through the process of adding the bit. Okay, you can stop it from there. So, how many of you guys know if Snow, the horse, was not interested in that, there's probably not much that they could have done to stop him. You know, at that point, the halter was off. She had the rope around his neck. But I can tell you right now from personal experience, if he doesn't want to be there, he's not going to be there. There's nothing that either of those two could have done to stop him if he'd run away. And yet, you know, you'll notice that as they were putting the bit on, he kind of looked away a little bit and then just slowly brought back in. But what does the reins do? The reins allow you with the bit in the mouth to actually steer and control where the horse is going to go. Right? There's a process there where the reins are put on that allow you now to have control over the direction of the horse. Now, there's a process in the freedom that we have in Christ that then allows us to give full authority to Christ to rule our lives. That we are giving him the reins. I don't know why this moment stuck out in my life so much, but when I was in college, I went to Mount Union, and shout out to Mount Union College. but I remember there was a moment. So I was a college student. I am a LIPTAC, which means sometimes I can tend to drive a little above the speed limit. In college, you know, draw your own assumptions. But I remember I was driving down 62, and I was on my way back to Mount Union, and I pulled up next to a Dodge Viper. And I saw that thing, and I thought, that's just like one of the coolest cars. That thing is so fast. It is dangerously fast. I know people that have been in some pretty serious wrecks because of how powerful that vehicle is. And I remember we were at a light, and just as the light turns green, and like on 62, you only have a few lights, and so the road kind of opens up after that. And I remember being next to the Dodge Viper, and I mean, if I was in college, I had one of two vehicles. I had an old Mercury Sable, or I had a Jeep Wrangler four-cylinder. So I wasn't about to beat that thing off the line if he didn't want me to. But I remember it turned green, and I didn't, like, take off. That would have looked ridiculous next to a Viper. But I accelerated, and I went forward. And I remember just cruising right past him. Just like nothing. And I realized, like, this person was sitting in this car and clearly had the most powerful vehicle on the road and was just totally comfortable cruising along. I felt like I could have had this. I felt like I heard their thoughts, or at least what I would have been thinking in that moment, that said, I know I can beat you. I know I'm faster than you, but I don't have anything to prove. And so just slowly cruising along, and I will never forget my encounter with the Dodge Viper. Not as good as any encounter I've had with the Lord, but here's what I learned about that, is that just because we have the ability to do something doesn't mean that we have to. Like, the person in that Viper could have blown me off the road and was just totally comfortable choosing to just sit back and enjoy the just cruising along. Here's the point. We have been given an incredible amount of freedom in Christ. And I think as Americans, we probably have one of the best upbringings to know what it looks like to have freedom, right? And we want to be careful about shifting from freedom to entitlement, because there's a difference. But here's what the Lord was showing me about freedom reigns, is this idea that despite the fact that he now has reigned on us, that his presence has reigned on us to give us freedom, his freedom reigns in our lives. It has dominion and authority over us. But now I have the opportunity to actually freely, of my own choice, give that control to God, to hand him the reins, and in my freedom allow him to have control. See, here's the thing that I love about how God works, is that he gives us incredible freedom. He gives us incredible power. And then he says, okay, I'm going to give you the choice to submit that to me. Right? And so there's this process that as we grow as believers, where we are given the opportunity to lay our lives down. All right? We're going to look at a few scriptures. John 8:36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. The Amplified Version says that you are unquestionably free. So every single one of us that know Jesus have this incredible amount of freedom where we get our own choice of what we want to do with it. But if we want to fully access everything that we can do with that freedom, we need to give him the reins. We need to give him the control. And it's not because the Lord is emphatic about telling us what to do, but it's about only in freedom can we give him the reins to fully access everything that it's capable of accomplishing. Right? And so there's this process with the Lord. There's this process with the Lord where he's inviting us. And this is an invitation to people who understand everything that they have. It's not like you are unaware of the freedom that you've been given. But in the process of carrying it out, you realize that God is the one that actually allows me to walk in even greater freedom. And so why would I not give him the reins? Right? It's not out of obligation. That's what I want to make very clear. Like, sometimes we get into this process with the Lord where we feel like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do this. That does not impress the Lord at all. When we're doing things solely out of obligation, that does not give him great joy. But when we recognize that I have complete freedom, and in that freedom, I want to give God all of the control over my life, then we are capable of being used in ways that are exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we can think or imagine. Matthew 10, 7 through 8 says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." The proportion that we are willing to receive should be the proportion that we're willing to give out. We're given that dominion. We're given that authority to cast out, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers. But as we are freely receiving, he's calling us to freely give out. Right? It doesn't say, as you've received, I command that you give out. Freely you've received, freely give. In the process of that freedom, we are empowered to give out even more. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gates, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it, for the gate is narrow and the way is constricted that leads to life, and there are few who find it." When we are given an abundance of freedom, there is a process that we are invited into. I don't want to say that we have to go through. That we are invited into that puts us on that narrow road. It's not a path that a lot of people would choose in the natural. But it's something that as we grow closer in revelation and understanding of who God is and his heart, we choose to walk down that narrow road, that life of sacrifice. Let's see. Luke 9:23 talks about how we are called to daily pick up our cross and deny ourselves. And then I want to give this example. There's an account in the book of Acts, and it's Paul. And he's been traveling, and in Acts 21, verse 10 through 14. And this is what it looks like to have a life of freedom. You'll notice Paul writes many of his books. At the beginning, he refers to himself as a bondservant of Christ. And so he's talking about how he is chosen to become a slave to Christ. And I want you to see this is an example of what that looks like. starting in verse 10, there we go. It says, "As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And he came to us and took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles.' When we had heard this, we, as well as the local residents, began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' And since he would not be persuaded, we became quiet, remarking, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" In this process, Paul is actually prophesied to accurately. And here's where I think sometimes we can step into something how do I word this? Like we've learned, many of us, about prophecy, is that there's a process of hearing the prophetic word, there's a process of delivering the prophetic word, there's a process of receiving and interpreting the prophetic word, right? Like, one doesn't necessarily void the other. And I think the example that we usually have and that we use is Moses telling the Israelites that they're going into the promised land. And after he took all of those people out of Egypt, only two of them ended up entering the promised land. Was the prophetic word wrong? No. How everybody chose to steward the word that was given determined whether or not they entered the promised land, right? Here's what Paul does. He's given an accurate prophetic word, right? They prophesied over him that you will be given over to the Gentiles, that you would potentially lose your life. Now, here's where that freedom comes in. Here's where we have freedom, and we want to let freedom reign, as in the Lord have control, is that Paul looks at this and says, even though I might die, I'm still called to go. How many times have we been given a prophetic word, and sometimes in our haste to interpret it, we jump into something right away without necessarily allowing the Lord to process in our hearts what it is that he's saying. Paul chose because he had given the Lord complete control of his life that says, even though I may die, I'm still moving forward. And what's their response? The Lord's will be done. What does that sound like? What is the greatest example that we have, I think, in Scripture where we see the Lord's freedom given the reins? To me, that's the Garden of Gethsemane. We see Jesus in this process. I don't think Jesus was mandated to do it. I think that's why we have this conversation that Jesus is going back and forth three times in the garden saying, if there was any other way, but not my will, yours be done. He is choosing to deny himself. He's choosing to take his life and say, I understand the sacrifice that's being made, and in my freedom, I am choosing to submit to you. That's where power is released, right? That's where we, as sons and daughters, as believers of great inheritance, have the opportunity to show the world something vastly different than what they've comprehended up to this point. Because the moment that we can show the world that we actually have... See, here's where the misinterpretation happens a lot of times. This is how the enemy will screw people up as far as understanding the heart of the Father. Somebody who doesn't know Jesus, the Bible says that to the unbeliever, it's foolishness. They look at the believer and think they're doing all of these things out of obligation. But if we can show the world the freedom that we've been given in Christ, and because of that freedom, we are choosing to lay down our lives, that becomes a completely different message. That is a message of power under control, right? That's the Dodge Viper that chooses not to go ripping down the road, even though they could. We have been given so much authority. We have been given so much freedom. He did so much at the cross to not only break off a yoke of slavery, but to give us authority and power. And what are we called to do? We're called to take that authority and that power and submit it back to the Lord and walk out what that is. And so when we do that, we are now showing the world what it looks like to have authority submitted to the King. But we have to walk in the freedom of authority that he gives us, or else we just look like a bunch of pushovers that have no authority. We have to be able to recognize the freedom that he gave us at the cross. We have to be willing to pick up our cross daily and actually walk out the authority that he's given us. And then we show the world what it looks like to have the ability to have all of the control and then give it away. That is something that will set this world on fire. Because it is counterintuitive to everything the world understands. And yet, in that process, what's promised to us? A peace that surpasses all understanding. Joy that gives us strength. Right? Because so many times when things go crazy and circumstances change, and they change for everyone, there's not a single person on the planet that has not had to walk through difficult circumstances, whether you're a believer or you're not. But how we choose to do it is a testimony to the world that shows where your trust is, that shows where your authority is. And so, unlike the unbeliever who will sit there and has actually no freedom because they're yoked to slavery, just needs to work through the circumstances, whereas we have the ability to take authority in the circumstances and then give it to God and say, have your way. That is a powerful thing. And so I want to end with this picture, just because I love it so much. I think it's a beautiful reflection on what it means to let freedom reign. So this is Joseph and Ruby Lee, my niece, on the horse. Ruby weighs 20 pounds, give or take. Tiny little thing, cute as a button. But is saddled under a very powerful horse that in a moment can take off. And yet, Joseph, symbolically, Jesus, has the reins. We have been given so much authority and so much power. And it's a scary thing to know that we can have all of those things and God gives us freedom in that process, right? It would make way more sense if I could give freedom and control it to me, right? You know, Joseph's almost 16. Yeah, I know. A couple weeks, and then that guy's driving. So I can give him the freedom to drive a vehicle and put some very tight restrictions on it and try to control everything, which is what my natural tendency is, and I probably will do some of that because I'm not the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But think about how much more freedom we have in Christ. And he still gives us the ability to choose whether or not to give the reins. But in that process, when we give him the reins, out of a revelation of who he is and who he created us to be, he allows us to walk in all of these beautiful things. He allows us to walk in divine supernatural provision, in peace, in joy, in power. Sometimes we get confused that giving up control means that we lose all of the freedoms that we had. The reality is just the opposite. And that's how he created us to live, in a way that can demonstrate to the world who he is. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your freedom. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that freedom reigns. That freedom reigns. That freedom reigns. Lord, that every person here is unyoked from slavery. That every person here is given authority and power. And that every person here has the ability to give you the reins. That we have this incredible freedom that can only be paid for by the cross. Jesus, I pray that each one of us would be able to walk fully in those things this week. That we would embrace everything that you put before us. That we would experience extravagant grace and mercy in the midst of it. And in that process where we are seeking you out, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, that we would know where it is, Lord, that we need to pick up that cross, that we would know where it is that we need to hand the reins over, but that we would do it in such a way that just demonstrates the beauty of your presence, the trust and the comfort of the Holy Spirit surrounding us. Lord, that we would be able to walk fully in that, and that you would be given all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, that's it. Any announcements? You guys want to watch the video again? This is a picture. This one's a picture. Sorry. Just a picture this time. Because she fell right. I'm just kidding. She didn't fall. She didn't fall. Yep. All right. Any announcements? Anything I'm missing? Tuesday, fire and wind. I believe we'll have a full team, right? Cool. Awesome. Bless you guys. Have a great week.